The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas is Parashas Mishpatim. In Perachov Beis of Mishpatim Pasuk Chov Dalet. Im kesev talve es ami. If you lend money to my nation, es oni imoch, the poor that's with you, lo siyalei kenosha. You shall not be to him like a pressing debt collector. Rashi translates Kinesha Leitit Ve'enu Bechazoko. In other words, you shall not press him for the money. And Leisa Simon Olov Neshach. And you shall not take ribis from him, exact ribis interest from the loan. Here we have three mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of milva, to lend. Secondly, a mitzvah that you shall not be a pressing creditor, a pressing debt collector to him. And thirdly, the negative commandment, well, that also was a negative commandment. And the first is a mitzvah, a positive commandment. The second is a negative commandment. And the third also is a leisas, a negative commandment, that you shall not extract from him or exact from him ribis interest. Rashi brings on these psukim, states im, if you lend my nation. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, kol im be'im shebeteire reshus chutz mishleisha v'zeh echot mehen. All the time when it states in the Torah, if, this means that it's optional. However, there are three exceptions, and this is one of the exceptions. This is not if, optional. This is a command. This is obligatory to lend your fellow Jew. How do we know this? We'll see later on, but basically because in Parshas Re'eh, which we'll quote in a minute, there it states, Habe Taviteno. Doesn't say im, it says you shall lend. Then Rashi tells us, es ami, my nation. What does it mean, my nation? Ami veivit kechov imami kodim. If two people want to borrow money from you, and you only have enough money for one to lend, and one is from your nation, and one is a person who's not from your nation, it's not from Klal Yisrael, you must give your nation priority. Then it states, es ha'oni imoch, the poor. Now the mitzvah of lending is even a mitzvah to wealthy also. Why does it say poor? Oni v'osher, oni kodem. If there are two and you have just enough money for one of them, you give priority to the poor. Then it states, or Rashi brings imoch. From Imoch, the Oni that's with you, from there we learn Aniye Irchob, Aniye Iracheres, Aniye Irchokodmin, that when it comes to lending money to the poor, and there are needs locally, and there are needs outside of the city, the local needs you must fulfill first. Leisia leikin nosha, Rashi says, leitit ve'enu bechazoka. Do not go after the collection of this debt by pressing him. Imato yodea she'en lai, if you know that he doesn't have it. Alti deima olov ki ilu ilvisai, elo ki ilu lei ilvisai. Kleima leisach limuhu, mohu. You should not make yourself visible to him as if to remind him that he owes you. In other words, you shall not embarrass him. Now, this is referring to where he does not have the money. If he has the money, that's a different story. Neshech, what does it mean, Neshech? Now, Neshech actually means a bite. You shall not take a bite from him. But wherever it states in the Torah, Neshech, it refers to ribis, interest. And it's called Neshech, Shu Keneshichas Nochosh, the Gemara says, Rashi brings. That it's like the biting of a snake. Shenosh Nochosh Neshe Chaburik Tana, Biraglai, Venamargish, Upisaim Humevatspates Venefeach Ad Katkotkai. A snake is has a peculiarity. It makes a very small bite. Dangerous animals make big bites. You know, you can start up with a lion or a tiger or a leopard or even a dog. They make big bites. The bite, though, is not necessarily lethal. A snake is just the opposite. It makes a very small bite. Many times you can hardly see the bite. It could just be a little penetration into the skin. But then, not long afterwards, the person will feel it b'chol gufei. Not only it won't be localized, he'll feel it in his entire body, all the way up to his head. And it's lethal. Neshe chaburik tana beragle veina margish. He makes a little bite in the person's foot and he doesn't even feel it. And then all of a sudden, it goes throughout the whole body, and his whole body feels it all the way up to his head. Kach ribis eina margish. A person goes to make a loan, and the person says, look, just pay a little extra every month. He doesn't realize it, the person, but it seems like nothing. But actually, when he's finished paying the interest, it has been mechala momen harbe. Kach ribis eina margish veina niker atche ribis eila umechasre momen harbe. People don't realize it, but when they buy a house, in the old days, you never bought anything unless you had the money. So what did you do? You did without it until you saved up all the money. When you had the cash, you went and bought it. Today in our, that's how it always was. Today in our economy, you know, they say the carbon economy is very, it's very robust because a lot of consumer spending. So the economy is very good. That would be like sending your son away to university and he comes back and he's got a new Mercedes and he bought himself a boat, a yacht, and he bought a new house. And he asked him, how did you do all of this? Well, you must have made a lot of money. No, I borrowed it. Well, the economy is good. That's the way, that's why you constantly find that after a boom comes a bust. See, that's the cycles. There's a boom and a bust. A boom in the economy, but people are not spending money that's theirs, and they're buying on loans, and they're paying interest. And then all of a sudden comes a recession, and so on. What they don't tell you is that when you buy a house on a bond, a 20-year bond, a 30-year bond, when you finish paying for it, you've paid for two or three houses. See, two or three houses. So this is what it states there. You don't realize it because they only ask you a little each month for it. But it's a very good business. That's why banks do well. This is what this is the Rashi on this pasuk. As we said, we have three mitzvahs here. One that deals with the mitzvah essay of loaning, of lending. The other, a negative commandment of taking ribis. Excuse me, of not to press him for payment if he does not have. And thirdly, the negative commandment of neshech, of ribis. First, let's speak a little about the mitzvah essay of milva, of lending. This is also brought in the Torah in Parshas Re'eh. That's in Dvorim Tesvov, Pasuk Zayin. Ki When there will be, you will have a poor person who's very poor, who's amongst your brethren, in one of your gates. Here also the Gemara Darshans. It states, first of all, it states a brother, which means a member of your family. He gets priority. Then it states, in your city. Then it states, in your land. Asher Hashem Elokecha Nesin Loch, Leisa Ametzis Lavovcha, Veleisik Peset Yotko Miachicho Ebion. Do not harden your heart, and do not tighten your fist from, in other words, you shouldn't be tight-fisted from your brother who is poor. Kifasoch Tiftach Es Yotko Lei. You must open up your hand widely to him. Behave Ta Avitenno. Now, what is this speaking about stoker? But there's a difference. We're not speaking now about the mitzvah of stoker. Mitzvah of stoker is an outright grant. We're speaking about the mitzvah of milva, of lending, where you expect it back. And he has an obligation to pay it back. So what is this speaking about? This is speaking about both. You shall open up your hand wide. And that's speaking about an outright grant. But vahave ta'avitenno, Have tabiteno means to lend. The Targum says on the word habet, the eisfa, osif, which is the word we have in the Gemara for lending. And Rashi says, he says, have tabiteno im leirotze b'matona tein le b'halva. If a person is poor, he needs money, but he doesn't want to take tzedakah, then you must offer him a loan. And we see also it's speaking about a loan, because immediately it starts to speak about the Shemitah. It states, it says, Demach Soray Asheyach Salay, you must lend him or give him what he needs. Hisham Elecho, Pen Yedover Im Lavovcha Bilial, guard yourself carefully, unless there is evil in your heart. Lemor, that you'll say, Kovrish Nasa Shevish Nasa Shemitah, the seventh year is coming. The seventh year, which is the Shemitah, and all loans are cancelled. And therefore, you'll say, and you'll say, why should I lend him? Because once the Shemitah comes, the loan is cancelled, I won't get my money back. And he will call to Hashem, and it will be a chet considered your avera. So we see that it's speaking also about loans here, because the Shemitah only will affect the loan. Give him. And don't worry. Don't worry. Don't let evil come into your heart afraid to give him. Because by giving him, you will not lose. You will gain. Behold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give brocha to all of your deeds, to all of your works. V'chol mishlach yodecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you back much more. You'll give him some money, but he'll give you bracha in all of the works of your hands. Because the poor will not cease from your land. And therefore, I command you, saying, that you shall surely open your hand wide to your brother, the one that's you're poor, though in your land. Here we have explicit the mitzvah of milva, where you must lend to your fellow man. Now, in the mitzvah of milva itself, there are kama mitzvahs. There are many mitzvahs. For example, first of all, we have this mitzvah's essay, this positive commandment of lending. That's one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Secondly, it's bechlal gemilas chesed. When you lend, you're not only fulfilling a mitzvah protis, a specific mitzvah, where the Torah explicitly said to lend, but you're fulfilling also the general mitzvah of gemilas chesed, of doing chesed. And chesed, we know what kind of mitzvah that is. states, HaTorah Tchilosa Chesed V'Sefer Chesed. The beginning of the Torah starts with the Gemilas Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made clothing for Adam and Chava, the first man and woman. And the end of the Torah ends with the Gemilas Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu to tell us Shekula Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence, and his Torah is the essence of Chesed. So this is in part of the Gemilas Chesed. And in Chesed, there are actually two mitzvahs. The first mitzvah, V'halachta Bidrochov, you shall walk in his ways. That's where we learn out Gemilas Chesed from. Because Mahu Chanun Afato Chanun. He is good to others. You must be good to others. Mahu Malbisharumim, he clothes the naked. You must. He's Mavaka Chelim, he visits the sick. You must. So there's the general mitzvah of Gemilas Chesed. And then there's also a mitzvah protis, a particular mitzvah of Chesed in particular. As it states, this is a Gemara in Baba Kama and Bar Metzia. Baba Kama Daf Kuf and Bar Metzia Daf Lamed. V'hidata es haderech yehu vei. By Yisrael. Yisrael told Moshe that when you set up all the judge systems and so forth and so on, V'hidata es haderech yehu vei, and you will tell them, you will tell him the derech in which he should go. And the Gemara Dashans from derech, that's Gemilas Chesed. And the Rashi says why? Because it's referring to a derech. What derech is it referring to? The derech shekobash Avraham Avinu. The derech which Abraham made. The road which Abraham made. How do we know that? One reason could be because generally it says derech Hashem. Lishmo derech Hashem, the way of Hashem. Here it states V'hadata es haderech. Doesn't say the derech of Hashem. Secondly, and this the Chofetz Chaim brings in the Sefer Avos Chesed, it says haderech, the derech. So referring to a specific derech, and therefore we say it's referring to the derech which Abraham laid down. And he, we know from the Torah that he was the Gaon, the Godel in Chesed. Further, when you lend someone money, there's a mitzvah also, a mitzvah essay of tzedakah. This is in the Rambam. In Perek Yud, Halacha Zayin. In Perek Yud, Halacha Zayin, Matnas Aniyim. The Rambam brings that in this perek, he deals with the mitzvah of tzedakah, giving grants to people, but he brings there, he says, Shmeina Mailos Yesh B'tzedakah Zulam Al Bazu. There are eight levels to tzedakah, one higher than the other. And he says, Maila Gedola Shein Lamala Mimeno, Zehamachzik B'Yad Yisrael Shemoch, V'Nesin Lematona, O Halva. The highest level of tzedakah, he says, is to lend someone money. So two things we see from the Rambam. That first of all, lending money to someone is the highest level of tzedakah. And secondly, lending money is also considered tzedakah. Now, and that second prat, the second, what we just mentioned, and that you can ask that why should it be considered tzedakah? Tzedakah means where you give something to someone. Over here, I expect to get it back. So I'm not giving it to him outright. So why is it considered tzedakah? The answer would be is because you're giving it to him interest free. And meanwhile, you could be using that money. The mitzvah of halva is interest free. And that's a tzedakah. Because you could be using that money. All right, let's say the Torah said you can't lend it out to others with interest. So we'll say it's not, I'm not losing by that. But I could be using that money. I could be using that money for investments and making money on it. And instead, I lend it to you. The Gemara calls this that your moos habetelos. Your money is idle. It's not working for you because you've lent it out. And that causes a loss to you because you could have gained from that. That's the tzedakah. So besides the gemilas chesed that's in it, and the mitzvah of halvah, it's bechlal tzedakah. And not only is it part of tzedakah, but the Rambam says it's the highest form of tzedakah. He says the shmeina milis b'tzedakah, 8 levels to tzedakah, and this is the highest. And that is where you give him maila gedela she'ein lamala mimena. That's a maksik b'diyad Yisrael shemach, when someone is falling and he needs financial help in order that he should not fall. Naisen le matona, you give him either an outright grant, which is stoka, a gift, or halva, or you lend him money, or aisi my shutfis, or you take him in as a partner, or mamtzele malocha, or you send some business to him. Why is this the highest form? Because here is by tzedakah all the time, you're helping someone who's in need. Here you're preventing the person from being in need. See, if you lend him some money or you give him some work, you're preventing him from being in need. Prevention is far better than a cure. That's better than someone who's already in need and you come or you let him fall and then you give him tzedakah. So what do? You lechazik eshyodi achele yitztach lebrius lishol. Now, the this, what we're referring to right now, has its own source in the Torah. This case. And the Rambam brings it. Where is its source? Its source is in Parshas Bahar. He says, V'alzeh nema v'akzakta be'ger v'teshe v'chayimoch. Klemar, achzek bay shele yipal v'yitztarech. This source that the Rambam brings is in Parshas Bahar, Vayikra Chof He, Perek Lamed He, Pasuk Chof He. What does it say there? Chof He, Pasuk Lamed He. If your brother becomes poor, umoto yodai imoch, and he starts to fall, vehekzaktabai, strengthen him, ger v'teishov, whether he is the ger or he's the ger is the one that's talking about a ger toshav, or the seishav refers to the Yisrael, v'chai imoch, and let him live with you. In other words, give him life. How do we know this is speaking about a loan? Because immediately after it states, al tikach mitei neshach, you should not take interest. Then it states, "Ani Hashem lekechem, they took you out of Mitzrayim to give you Eretz Canaan." So here we see it speaking about a loan. So now we have another source for the mitzvah of lending. Machzaktobai. That's referring about a particular case that a person is falling, There's a particular mitzvah in the Torah to help him. In other words, shaleli starik, that he shouldn't have to fall. Rashi brings on this. Al tanicheu sheyere viipol viyikosh lakimai el chazakto mishas meites hayad. Don't let him fall, because if he falls, then it's much harder to pick him up. But give him a hand before he falls. For an example to this, lemasu shel achamor edeo achamor echa tefes bayom amidai. Nafal oretz chamisha ein mamidin esoy. If you have a donkey and he's carrying a big load, and the load starts to fall, so one person can go run right away and straighten it out on a donkey. But if it falls to the ground, then he's going to have to call five people to help him reload the donkey. Now this, as we mentioned, we see from here that this is a mitzvah of milva, again, but in this particular case, and this is a mitzvah of tzedakah, and the Rambam calls it the highest form of tzedakah. The Rambam learns that the Rambam doesn't count this other than a mitzvah of tzedakah or a mitzvah of milva. The Rambam calls this a mitzvah by itself. In the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Rambam brings in I'm just looking here, and the Rambam in Mitzvahs Esei Tes Zayin. Mitzvahs Esei Tes Zayin, he counts this as a mitzvah Esei by itself. And besides the mitzvah of tzedakah, besides the mitzvah of milva, there's a particular mitzvah Esei v'achzakto, that refers to someone who is falling, to help him either with tzedakah or milva. But he counts this as a special mitzvah bifnei atzmai. The Rambam brings this again at the beginning of Hilchas Milva. In Hilchas Stoker, at the beginning of Perek Zayin, the Rambam brings that. Now, a further mitzvah that we have here is the mitzvah of the after le'acha kamecha. That if, when you lend to your fellow man, you're mekayim the mitzvah of the after le'acha kamecha. So we listed a whole number of mitzvahs that have to do with the mitzvah of halva. Again, there's the actual mitzvah's essay of milva. Secondly, it's bechlau gemilas chesed. And gemilas chesed has two sources. One in general, of alachta bedrochav, that you shall follow the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And two is, it has a source in particular, the derech which Abraham made. Then it's also inclusive in the mitzvah's essay of tzedakah, that when you lend money, you also fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, even though the money's coming back to you. And this we brought from the Rambam, from the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Zayin and Matnas Anim. We'll see some of the other sources on this as we go on. And then further, there's another mitzvah essay of Hakzakto. According to the Rambam, that's inclusive in the mitzvah of Milva and Stoko. And that is the particular case when your fellow man is falling. And there's a particular mitzvah that you must help him that he should not fall. According to the Ramban, that's a mitzvah bifnei atzmai. That's another mitzvah of Akzakto for that particular case. And then there's the mitzvah ve'after reacha kamecha, that you should love your fellow man. So there's many, many mitzvahs in this mitzvah of halva. Incidentally, referring to the mitzvah of Akzakto, to help your fellow man when he's slipping, the Chofetz Chaim Zichron Livracha brings in a sefer, in the sefer Shmiras Aloshim, in when he counts up all the mitzvahs that one can be ever can transgress when he speaks Loshon Hara. In essay Dalet, in the fourth mitzvah's essay, he says that if someone speaks Loshon Hara on someone, and this causes him a loss of panosa, causes him a loss of some of his panosa, to the point where this can cause him to start falling, he says that person is transgresses this great avera, Akzakto. And the depth of the avera we can see because the Torah of all of mitzvot stoker, which is the Rambam writes, that there's no mitzvah's essay, v'cholatera kula. No positive commandment in the entire Torah that a Jew has to be more careful with than mitzvah stoko. That a Jew has to be more careful with than mitzvah stoko. And the Rambam writes the highest level of that is v'aksakto, to help the person who's losing his panosa. So you could imagine what it is if someone causes a person to lose panosa. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim says, that when someone speaks Lashon Hara on someone and that can cause him to lose panosa, that's very, very serious. So a few of the prote dinim, a few of the particular halachas that have to do with this mitzvah. Firstly, this mitzvah is, even though in the Torah it says it's only the poor, and even though it's tokas only to the poor and not to the wealthy, this mitzvah is to both the poor and the wealthy. Wealthy people need loans also. They also at times are short. And it's a mitzvah, as I say, a positive commandment to lend them also. So it's bein bani and bein barashirin. The reason why, though, the Torah says oni, and that the Gemara brings, because aniya oni kedem. If there's a, like we mentioned, if there's a poor man and a wealthy man, and they both need a loan, and you don't have enough money to lend to both of them, then you have to give priority to the poor. But otherwise, the wealthy also are inclusive in this. A second point. The mitzvah of milva, like we mentioned, in ways, is even greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah. We mentioned it's part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's inclusive, but it's even greater. Because in that way, the poor will not have to come to ask for tzedakah if they can get along with just a loan. The Rambam brings this at the beginning of Hilchos Milva. Where he says, the beginning of Hilchos Milva Veleva, of Malva Veleva, he says, Mitzvah esei lahalbois la'aniye Yisrael, shenemar im kesev, talbe, es ami, es oni imoch. It's a positive commandment to lend to the poor of Israel, as it states, that when you lend to the poor, Yochel Rishus. Maybe this is optional because it states im tamar lema havei tavitenu. The Gemara Darshans, I believe it's in the Mechilta, Darshans havei tavitenu, that there it states you must lend. So therefore we learn that this im, if, is not optional, this is obligatory. Umitzvizug deile minat stoka. The Rambam says this is greater than stoka, ela oni ashel, greater than giving stoka to the poor that ask. Shezeh kvar nitzrach lishol, bezeh idain laigir lamidazu. This one, he's already in need. But the other one, not only you're helping them, but you're preventing them from being in need. So therefore, it's greater. And that's like we brought in the Shmona Milas, in the eight levels. And the Torah was very, very angry at a person that refuses to lend out his money. As it states, that shamalacha, guard yourself, that you shall not have evil in your heart where you do not want to lend out to your brother. And there it's referring, even when it's kor v'shnas ha-shmitah, even when there's a good chance you won't get it back because the shmitah will come, the seventh year will be cancelled, and still the Torah was very angry at someone who withheld. So how much more so someone when it's not in relationship to the Shemitah, so you will get it back in most circumstances. The Rambam brings in Sefer HaMitzvahs similar to this in Mitzvahs Essay Kuf Tzarek Zayin. Hushetzi Ivanu, La Halvois La Oni, La Hokelei, Me Onyo, Ula Harchiblei. Hushetzi Ivanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to lend money to the poor in order to make lighter his poverty. And Ula Harchiblei, and to give him some harchob, give him some room, some wealth. Vze mitzvah hayese chazoko. This mitzvah is a stronger mitzvah and more of an obligation than the great mitzvah of tzedakah, in which the Rambam says that a Jew has to be careful with mitzvah tzedakah more than any other positive commandment in the Torah. See, there he writes it's part of tzedakah, but this particular facet of it. Because you're preventing him from public shame. Because by lending him, that's not such an embarrassment. If you don't lend him, then he might have to go and ask. He might have to go and beg. And that's a tremendous shame. And then the Rambam repeats what we brought. The Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Avos Chesed writes that this also is a mitzvah not only with money, but also with items. Someone wants to come and borrow something of yours, and you can lend it to him. You must lend it to him. He brings this in Avos Chesed, Perek Aleph, Sif Beis. And he says, for sure, it's Bechlal Tzedakah, and it's Bechlal Gemilas Chasodim. That's for sure. I don't know if he means, though, if it's actually inclusive in Tzedakah, for sure it is. And then he brings many proofs. And Chesed, for sure. I don't know if he means exactly, though, if it's within this mitzvah also, milvah. Because the Gemara says milvah is where you give something to someone and he consumes it. Except then he returns its equivalent to you. But if you give something to someone and they merely use it and then they give it back to you, that's not a milva. See, that's called she'ela. That's allowing someone to use what's yours. And legally it doesn't have a loch of milva. And there's great differences, because on that you can charge for. The Torah said that you're not allowed to charge for a milva. That means I can't lend you money or even food and say, you pay me back the equivalent plus 10%. That I'm not allowed to. But I can lend you my car and say, use it for 30 days, but you have to pay me for it. That would be hiring. That you're allowed to. So I don't know if he means it actually in this mitzvah in specifically, but he says it's certainly in the mitzvah of tzedakah and the mitzvah of gemilas chesed. We could ask, why is it in the mitzvah of tzedakah? Because you're getting back. Tzedakah is where you give something. Here you're getting it back. Well, there again, we say, firstly, I think he brings that because you don't get it back exactly the same way you received it. This wear and tear. And that you're giving to the person, that you have a right to charge him for, and you're not. You're lending it to him for nothing. You can use my car, or you can use this, or you can use that. And then also, at that time, you could be using it. So you're losing, at that time, that opportunity, and this you're giving him. This is why it would be inclusive in tzedakah. And then we mentioned, this is from the Gemara at the end in Ezra Neshech, Ein Aleph, and the Rambam brings it. We mentioned that Akorav Korav Kodem, when it comes to the mitzvah, you first priority is those in your own family that need. Next are those who are geographically close to you from your city. Next are those who are outside of your city. Now we have a second mitzvah in this posuk where it states, Lo siyat kenosha. You shall not be like you shall not be a hard creditor towards him. Lei siya lei kenosha. The Gemara brings that not only you're not supposed to hard press him, and if one does, he's eiva leisaser, negative commandment. Lei siya lei kenosha. But he's not even allowed to do something in which it makes the leiva, the borrower, uncomfortable. That means, the Gemara brings, that if, when he sees you, he's going to, right away, oi, I haven't paid this back yet, then it's a better you should do something in which he doesn't see you, to prevent him from that tsar, that anguish, and that embarrassment. The Rambam brings on this halacha in Hilchos Milva, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, and Gimel. Excuse me. Kol ha-neges ha-oni yodea she'en lai ma-yakster lai. Whoever presses the poor that you lent money to, and you know that he doesn't have the money available to pay you back, eiva b'leisaser, transgresses a negative commandment. Shenema leisia lekinesha. Oser la'odem la'hirois atzmai le'balcheva bizman she'edea she'en lai. It's oser, it's forbidden for a person even to allow himself to be shown to that person, when he knows that he doesn't have what to pay back, afilu lav olafonav shelo yafchidu o yachlimu, and even to pass him by in order not to scare him and not to embarrass him, even though he doesn't outwardly demand the money. And certainly if he's going to outwardly demand it. Now, this is all referring, though, to where the person doesn't have the money. What happens if the person does have the money? Yes, then by all means you can demand your money back. Fact is, if he has the money and he doesn't want to pay, you can take him to court also. This is speaking where it's einlei, where you know that he doesn't have the money. And the same thing is the contrast. Kishem, she'oser lezeh litvaya, kach oser leleva lichvay shmo min chaveri, shebiyodei, melemelei lech v'shuv, v'hu sheyesh lei. That just like you're not allowed to press him for the money when you know he doesn't have, he's not allowed to withhold the money when he does have, even to stall, even to delay. Where he tells him, lech v'shuv mochor, go and come back tomorrow, and you keep stalling them off, and you have the money. And this, they bring a pasuk in Mishlei, the Gemara. The pasuk in Mishlei is, in pasuk Gimel, in Per Gimel pasuk Chof Ches, al tema lereacha, Leich vashuv umachor etain v'yeshitoch. It's explicit. Do not say to your friend, go and come back tomorrow, and then I'll give you. In the meantime, you have it now. It's interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan brings this as a, that if someone does that, he's paying him. Except he's just delaying the payment. That if someone does that, he says he transgresses a negative commandment, midivrei Kabbalah, a negative commandment from the Ksubim, from the Nach, because it's explicit. Al temar, you're not allowed to do that. Then we go one step further. B'chein osel leleva likach halva. A borrower is not allowed to take a loan and squander it. Squander it where it's not necessary. And because of that, he will not have what to pay back the malva with. And he can say, well, the one that gave me this money is a multimillionaire. So why shouldn't I use it? And if I have it, good. If not, look. Now, and if he does that, this is a roshavu. Shnema leve roshavu le yishalem. These have sources in the Gemara. Now, the fact that it says roshavu, that's a rosh, wherever it says roshavu, that's a very, very severe phrase in the Gemara. The Gemara says on someone, Mikrei Rosho, he's called a Rosho. It goes so far that they had the right to announce in shul on Mondays and Thursdays that this person, so-and-so, is a Rosho, because this is what he's doing. So wherever the Gemara says Rosho, that's a very, very strong term. The source of that is also a posuk in Mishlei, where it states, Leva Rosha Vele Yishalem. A Leva, what's a Leva? That's a Rosha, where he borrows and he doesn't pay back. But here's a greater chiddush, because we would say that, what's a Leva Rosha? I borrow, and I don't pay back, because I don't have the money. Well, look, I mean, if you don't have the money, then it's an onus. Right, beyond your control. But you have the money and you don't pay back, that's a rosha. But he was saying further, this case that the Rambam brings us and the Shulchan Aruch brings us also, in Cheshit Mishpat, this case is speaking where he doesn't have the money, but it's not through. It's this case is speaking where he does not have the money. Not where he has the money, he doesn't. But it's through negligence, his negligence, that he doesn't have the money. He squandered it. He used it for something that was not necessary. There also, they bring the posuk, leiva Rosha Leishalim. He's Mikrei Rosha. That means a person takes a loan, he's taking it to use, he must use it, but he must use it wisely and use it carefully. And if he squanders it, and because of that he cannot pay it back, Mikrei Rosha. He's called the Rosha. B'tziva chachomim yemomen chavercha chovi velecha kishilcha. The chachomim commanded that the money of someone else has to be as dear as dear to you as your own money. This in particular, we've given shurim on this in the past, but this in particular is a rishus. Such a case where you borrow and you don't pay back. Alright, when you squander, that's a negligence, but if someone borrows and he has the money, but he just can't get himself to pay it back. Why is it a particular rishus? Because we've spoken at length many times the enormous mitzvah of chesed, gemilas chesed, of giving of oneself to someone else. That's the highest form. The other end of the pole, the lowest form is this. Because this is what the Gemara calls mishalim ro tachas teva. This is worse than a ganef. Because a ganef is stealing something that's not his, but the other person never did him a chesed. This is a person that tachas, in place of the chesed you did to me, I will give you in return an evil. In other words, you came and lent me money, and now I steal it. You see? This is the extreme of chesed. And this is not the Zer Avraham. It's not this, like the Rambam says, that the Irma, the hallmark of a Zer Avraham, of a Jew, is where he has chesed. A person that will be Meshalim Ro Tachas Tova, that's not from the hallmark of Avraham. The Shulchan Aruch brings this, but adds another halacha. In Cheshen Mishpat, and it's a halacha which is often asked in Siman Tzadik Zayin. I took the wrong one. I need a certain one. Can you find it? Siman Tzadik Zayin. The Mechaber brings all of these halachos that we quoted from the Rambam. Then he brings Osa l'leiv l'kachas halva u'leitzia shalei l'tzorech u'le'abdo at shalei motzei hamal v'mimal ligvesh cheve. That the labor, the borrower, is not allowed to take a loan and squander it, use it carelessly, to the point where it might come out that he won't have the money to pay back when it's time to pay it back. And if he does so, he's called a Rosha. Now he brings the case. Many times people ask you, someone's asked me for a loan, but I lent him in the past and he hasn't paid me back. And now he came back for another loan. And I've lent him a second time. And he also, it's very hard to get my money back from him. Am I obligated to continue to lend him? So the Mechaber brings, when the Malva can see that this is the type of person that he's dealing with, that if he lends him money, he's either not only if he's not going to pay back, but even if he means to pay back, but he's careless with his money, and it's very likely that when it comes time to pay, he won't have the money to pay back. Mutav shalei l'lvaisai. It's better not to lend him. Mimashi yilbuhu v'itztarech lenoksei achakach v'yave b'chol pam mishum leisiyah l'kenesha. It's better not to lend him than lend him, and then you have to all of the time press him for it. And since the truth of the matter is he doesn't have the money, see, because he spent it. And when you press someone for your money that doesn't have it, you've transgressed the negative commandment of Laisia Kinesha. So therefore, he says, better not to lend them. So that's an important halacha, you see. What you can do in such a case, if you can, because many times you're in a predicament, the man needs the money. I have rachmonis on him. He wants the loan, but he's not responsible. What you can do in such a case is give it to him. See if you can. Make it a smaller amount, but you tell him he should pay back, but you have in mind that if he pays me back, good. If he doesn't pay me back, it'll be tzedakah. Say. Okay. But if it's money that you need back and you expect it back, if it's a responsible person, then that's what we're speaking about, the great mitzvah to lend the money. And even if it's a person that there might be a risk, still it's a great mitzvah to lend the money. But if it's someone who's dishonest, or even if it's someone who's careless with your money, then Muhammad says, look, you have every right not to lend him the money. And it might even be better not to lend him the money, because you're going to keep going after him, and each time you'll be like an Aisha. This is what the Mechaber brings. So this is in regards to the Leisa Sev, Leisa Kinesha. In general, the question is asked, how much money should you lend? Or where should you give priority? The Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer, Avos Chesed, he brings two things. Firstly, he says that since the milveh is bechlal tzedakah, then there's nothing wrong, not only nothing wrong, it's very admirable that a person takes a portion of the money which he sets aside for tzedakah all the time and makes a fund out of it. And that fund he leaves for lending. If a person gives X amount every month at tzedakah, so you can take a portion of that each month, put it in an account, and that account will be his own personal Gemilas Chesed fund. And that he'll lend people. And when they pay back, it'll go back into the account. And you keep building up. Because he's fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah, and even more, it's the greatest level of tzedakah. So that's one thing he says which is highly advisable. Secondly, how much? He has that problem also. He says he searched all over and he cannot find where the Chazal should give a shiur, an amount as to how much people should lend out. So he thinks, he comes to the conclusion, it's whatever a person can reasonably afford. Now he says naturally a person doesn't have to lend out all of the money that he has that he doesn't spend on his household, because a person has every right and also obligation to use his money for investments or to use his money for business. If he's going to lend out all his money, so he's taking that away from himself. But he would say that here we're not talking about where he makes this fund. Here we're talking about someone comes to ask him for a loan and he's going to lend it to him for 30 days or 60 days and then get it back. It's just like a one-time thing from time to time. So he says it should be within reason that a person should spend on his needs within reason in accordance to his income. He should set some aside for savings in accordance to his income. He should invest in accordance to his income. But also, he should, if somebody comes and asks for a loan, he should lend them a certain portion, which is reasonable in accordance to one's means. This is the mitzvah of Nisa. We mentioned there were three mitzvahs. One is Im Kesef Talvez Ami. That's the mitzvah of lending. Leisi al Kinesha, you shall not be hard press him for the money when you know that he doesn't have. Again, if you know he has, then you have every right to press him for it. And three, leis simon olav neshach. The third is that you shall not charge him ribbis. Let's speak a few minutes on this mitzvah. Now, Rashi brings, why is it called, we quoted, why is it called neshach? Neshach means a bite. Because it's like a snake, the Chazal tell us. Most animals, especially if they're dangerous, they make big bites. The snake, his bite is probably the most dangerous bite there is. And yet he makes a very, very small bite that you can hardly see. He can bite you in the heel, and then all of a sudden, you'll feel it in your entire body, all the way up to your head. This is the same thing with ribbis. You borrow, they'll say, look, you don't have to pay much, you just pay a little extra every month. Like we mentioned, you buy a house on a bond, you just pay a little extra every month, but by the time you finally finish the 30-year bond, you've actually paid enough to buy two or three houses. So therefore, this is the neshech, the bite. And it can be lethal, the Chazal tell us. Now, but we can ask, why did the Torah forbid lending money on ribbis? Logically, there should be nothing wrong with it. Because it's my money. I have a right to use it for my investments. If I give it to you, I can't use it for my investments. For all of their time, my money is idle. Meantime, maybe you're using it for your investments. So why can't I charge you? If you want to use a person hires out cars, he hires out boats. You want to use a boat, you want to use a car, so you pay for that right. You pay by the hour, you pay by the day, you pay by the month. So the same thing with money. And it's also done, midas halev. I'm not forcing anyone. He doesn't have to borrow the money. He does it willfully. In fact, he even wants to pay the interest because that's the best way he can get a loan. So we can ask, why did the Torah forbid this? A second question is, this is not theft. You're not stealing anything from him. Stealing is shelemidaita, where you take it from him and he's not willfully giving it to you. Here he's willfully giving it to you. Yet, the Torah placed many, many lavim in essays, many negative commandments and positive commandments on this. Well, by actual theft, we only have one negative commandment. Further, when you steal, who is the one that transgresses the mitzvah? The one who steals, not the one who stole it from. By ribbis, when you take interest, the Gemara says, Echar amalva, vechar aleva, vechar aedim, vechar aorev. The one who extracts the ribbis transgresses the mitzvah. The one who pays the ribbis transgresses the mitzvah. The witnesses that sign the contract, and the orev and all of your underwriters. So what can... And fourthly, we can ask further. Fourthly, the Umas Elam, the non-Jew, the Gentile world, one of their seven mitzvahs is they're not allowed to steal. And they have very, very given a very, very harsh punishment for stealing. Yet by them, they're allowed to lend and to borrow with interest. And here we see by the Jew, just the opposite. That on stealing, that's minimal, like we explained, compared to the Isser of Ribis, to this Leishaseh. And the emesis, the truth is, it doesn't make business sense. It states that when Klal Yisrael received the Torah on Har Sinai and they received this command, said they wept. They realized they just lost a lot of business. But there was a reason for it, though. The moral lovers writes, when they wept means it was something which went against the grain of human rationale. They couldn't understand. We're doing honest business here. Why? What's this interference? So what is the reason for this? The moral explains as follows. He explains this in Perek Vav in the Sivat Stoko. It's not so much of what you're taking from the person. And that we explained. He's given to you willfully. And if it would be considered taking something illegally, so why did the Torah Asa forbid it so many times, even more than Gezel, and then the same thing by the non-Jew and so forth? It's not because of that. He says that the tztoka and chesed, to do tztoka and chesed, that's giving life to another person. As it states a number of times in the Parshas of Tztoka v'chesed, v'cheyochicho imoch, and you shall let him live with you. And that's why the Gemara brings from the Posuk, Tztoka tatzil mimobis. When you give Tztoka, you're giving Parnosa to a person. Parnosa is the lifeblood of the person. The Gemara brings in Baba Basra, for example, there was Binyamin Atzadik. Binyamin Atzadik was Mamuna al Kubish al Tztoka. He was in charge of the community fund. And one time, a woman came to him and she said, Rebbe Panaseni, Rebbe, this is in the first parak, give me Panosa. And he says that Ha'avoda, I swear it's empty, there's no money left. She says, if you won't give me Panosa, then this woman and seven children will die from hunger. So he went and he took his own money and he gave it to her. So it states that because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu added 22 years to his life. 22 years. So we see that Stoker is giving life to a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns it. And that's why the Torah speaks so highly of this mitzvah. It becomes a shutzif to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's the Mefanes Kol Chai? Who's the one that gives life to the world? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave the opportunity for people also to do that, especially for Bnei Yisrael. This was the midah of Avraham Avinu, like we mentioned, to give life to people. Now, this mitzvah is in particular peculiar to Klal Yisrael. Why? Because all of Yisrael are called achim, called brothers. They are an am. Why are they called brothers? Because they're am echot. Mika amcho Yisrael ge echot boretz. Not only do they come from one person, kulanu b'nei ish echot, but the unity of Klal Yisrael is different than the unity of all nations of the world. And mika amcho Yisrael ge echot boretz. There's that oneness, and that's why they're all called achim, brothers. That's why it states, "Kol Yisrael Arevin Zelazer." The word Arevin comes from the word "lis Arev," to mix. They are all part of one. Now, the doing of Chesed, the giving of life one to another, certainly relates to brothers. The Rambam brings in place. He says that he who will, he brings this in Perek Yud of Maiseroni, Matnis Aniyim. He says, a Jew that will not give a fellow Jew, Stoker is an achsor. It's cruel. Because what brother won't help another brother? That's what he brings. What brother won't help another brother? It's an achsorius. It's a cruelty. You might say, you know, you want to give someplace overseas. So it's very good if you do. If you don't, I don't know if you know if you're cruel. But if your own brother needs and you don't, and his brother doesn't give, he says an achsor. It's cruel. Because what brother won't give to another brother? And who, he says, who will your brother ask for? He says, le'evdei kechovim, to the idolaters that hate us. And the Maral brings that if you look in the parsha of Tzedakah, the word of ochicha is mentioned continually. Mentioned continually. So this mitzvah is especially by Klal Yisrael, that they're all Am Echad and they're brothers. And when, and this is why also we find that Akor of Kor of Kedem, the closer, comes first. He says it's like a body, a human body. You take the body, gives one part of the body, gives to the other all of the time, because it's one unit. You can't have one part of the body that says, I'm going to act totally unilaterally, and I won't give to any other part of the body. Then the body won't get very far. But because it's all one unit, each part gives to the other. And the parts that are closest get first from each other. So therefore, the ones that are closest get first, but this is Klal Yisrael. And this is the hallmark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything is one. That's why it states that when Klal Yisrael is Am Echad, and the Torah is Echad, incidentally, it's brought in Parshas Yisrael, we learned, that it states that when they came to Har Sinai, it says, Vayichan Neged Ohor. They camped near the mountain, and it says, Vayichan Velev Vayachanu. Uses the singular, not the plural. And Rashi brings all of the campsites were full of division. But here was total unity. The Maral explains that it had to be total unity, otherwise it couldn't have been... They couldn't have brought down the entire Torah, because the bond of the soul of Klal Yisrael is bonded up with the soul of the Torah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there would be division in Klal Yisrael, there's division in the Torah and division in Hashem. He says that's why the Gemara says in Golus, we will not be able to find a Mishnah Brura and a Halacha Brura b'mokam Echad. Our Torah is not together, it's a little here, a little there, all scattered. There's a further medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Lamed Aleph, that the medrash says, Ba ure'ei kol b'riya isav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lovin zeh mizeh. If you examine the universe, you'll find, and incidentally, this is a tremendous kasha, they will not admit it, but this is a tremendous kasha, an enormous kasha on the evolutionists. The Medrash says that if you will examine the universe, you will find that all of the creations work together. Each one lends to the other. It gives an example. One example, as you see, that the day lends a little to the night, and the night lends a little to the morning. Or this one borrows from there. There's not the cutoff. If there would be immediate cutoff from complete light to complete blackness, that would show a division, two separate units working independently. You see, it all merges one with the other slowly, because it's all working together. All of the galaxies work together. The entire universe works together. Just like the entire human body. They say there are billions of cells in the human body, but scientists say they all work together. So this is all because it's all Bria Achas. It's one, and that's a sign that it was made by one creator. Now, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a particular mitzvah to Klal Yisrael. And that's the mitzvah of Milva. Lend to your brother. When you lend to your brother, there cannot be a greater harmonizing effect, a greater merging of individuals than when one shares with what he has with the other. That's the mitzvah of chesed, and it's a particular mitzvah of milvah. In other words, the panos is a person's chayim. What's his physical life? His physical life comes from the sustenance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. If he shares that sustenance with his brother, so this is a total achdus. This is a total unity. This is the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why this mitzvah is not by the nations of the world. It's very nice if they'll land. But it's not. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the isarvus, that all of Yisrael is isarv like ishachot. Now, person takes this halva, which is the essence of sharing a person's life possessions with someone else, the possessions which give him life. It states by Ribbis, you shall give him life. And not only he doesn't give it to him, he doesn't only withhold it, but he charges him Ribbis for it. And Ribbis is just the opposite. Ribbis is like the Neshichas Nochosh, the bite of the serpent. The serpent was the symbol of Mavis, of death. Who brought death into the world? It was the serpent. It's instead of bringing life to the other person, once, there's a saying, once a person falls into the hands of the moneylenders, he's finished. You're bringing death to him. So you're taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah, where he wanted to unite Klal Yisrael with, while they're sharing their actual life sustenance with one another, and instead of giving him life, you give him death. That's why the Torah forbade Ribbis, and that was for Klal Yisrael. So these are the biurim explanations in these three mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Ahalva, of lending, the mitzvah of Leisei Kenosha, that you shall not be hard press him when he doesn't have the money, and the mitzvah of Ribbis, that you shall not charge him interest.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.